In John chapter 3, verse number 6, the scripture says, our Lord Jesus speaking, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. I want to preach a message this morning entitled, The Birth Everyone Needs, Yet Requires No Mother. The birth everyone needs, yet requires no mother. Let's pray. Father, we come to you in prayer at this time. We thank you for your blessings upon us today. Your goodness is great unto us indeed. We praise your name for every blessing and every touch upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for your great creation and the most habitable place that you've made for us to live in. And Lord, we thank you for your word and the truth of it. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, we thank you for salvation full and free through him. Help us, Father, that as your children, we'd rejoice in you and your salvation upon us, and we might declare it unto others, Lord, and tell of the mercy and grace and great love that you've bestowed upon us, that others might hear and others might see, and Lord, that you would use it and work as you only can. Father, for sinners that are here today, we pray that you'd help them to see their great need. As our brother sang, Lord, and declared, open their eyes that they might see, open their hearts that they would receive and believe, open their ears that they might hear. Lord, you're the only one that can do this, and we pray, Father, that today that you would be pleased to do so in the hearts and lives and persons and souls of those with us not saved. Lord, help us to glorify you. Help us to worship you. And Lord, thank you for the services already. Help now with your word, we pray. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit indeed. The birth everyone needs, yet requires no mother. Here are in this John chapter 3, a very familiar passage, I trust, unto you, is a place where in the scripture it tells the account of a man by the name of Nicodemus coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got some questions. He's got some quandary in his heart and his mind. And what we want to focus upon this morning is how our Lord deals with this man. How our Lord deals with this man in the need that he has. You know, that's what Jesus always does, is he speaks to each and every one of us to our need. And the Lord's able to do such a wonderful thing. He's able to take a crowd and deal with everybody all at the same time. And he's able to take the individual and deal with them one-on-one as he has this man. And so just because John chapter 3 is very familiar to you, don't block out the message and don't block out what the Word of God is saying this morning. And let us focus upon this birth that everyone needs, yet requires no mother. In John 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. He's a teacher. He's a master. He is likely on the Sanhedrin there amongst those 70 elders that are to govern Israel. She's occupied by the Romans, but they are still having their government under that to the extent that they can govern. And they are to be there to help out originally in the affairs of the nation as the Lord had ordained in Moses' day. And sanctioned in Moses' day, but they're to also have the word of God within them that they might help the people and be a minister unto the people indeed. Not only with the words of their lips, but by their actions and their deeds. We see that this man is of the sect of the Pharisees. They've taken the word of God and they've blocked out what they think is true. And they've had fathers and elders write different things about that. And they have a line of doctrine that they hold to. Probably most likely holding to what the elders have said more than what the word of God says. They seem to be better off than the Sadducees, but they've got the same problem. Rather than just adhering to what God has said outright. The same came in verse number 2 to Jesus by night. And we believe and understand that Nicodemus did so because he didn't want to be seen. After all, he is a master in Israel. He's a man that has some responsibility, some authority, and a standing with the people. If he's like his peers, he's very concerned about what the people think. And so he goes to the Lord Jesus by night. But you know what? He goes to the Lord Jesus and said unto him, Rabbi, And so he acknowledges the Lord as a master, as a teacher, as a leader amongst the people. We know that thou art a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. He says, the miracles speak to the power that is at hand in you. They speak to that. God's got to be with anyone that does such a thing as you. Because understand, the Lord Jesus, from the day that he did that first miracle and turning the water into wine at that marriage in Cana of Galilee, the Lord has been working miracles prolifically. He has worked miracles like none other. And our Lord Jesus has never been stumped, even by those brought to him that are dead. He's able to heal. The demons, they speak about Jesus when they bring those possessed by the demons into him. And the Lord is able by his voice to subdue them and tell them to hush and quell the witness of the truth that even those demons know amongst mankind. When the Lord tells them to come out, they come out indeed, and they never go back. When those that are dead are brought before the Lord, or he goes unto them, he brings them back to life. When the lepers come and a hand and they desire the mercy of the Lord Jesus to be healed, you know what? He touches them and he heals them. Nicodemus knows this. The miracles that you're working, it's not witchcraft. It's not sorcery. It's got to be the power of God. You're from Galilee. Nicodemus in his heart, I believe, would think, look at you. You don't look like anybody. But it's got to be the power of God at hand. Jesus answered and said unto Nicodemus, unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, Nicodemus. Jesus embarks with this man upon a theological discourse and discussion. And you know what? I think what the purpose is he's going to deal with Nicodemus. And Nicodemus' spiritual condition is not unknown to the Lord. But he is a master in Israel, even a rabbi himself, a ruler of the Jews. He acknowledges Jesus as such because Jesus is taught like none other. And Jesus takes to him and says to him, truly, truly, verily, verily, this is important information, Nicodemus. I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, I think the expectation would be Nicodemus would say, amen. But Nicodemus doesn't say amen. We who are saved and have understanding from the word of God, don't we say amen? We do, because it is a true, true statement that we must be born again to be able to see the kingdom of God. And having been born by the Lord, having been saved by the Lord, we do see the kingdom of our Lord indeed, and that he is king, he is our savior, and he's got a work that he's doing. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? So Nicodemus, he gives himself away spiritually and says, look at me, I'm grown. Be born again. Can I go back into my mother's belly and be born again? I tell you what, we're thankful for our mothers, aren't we? Our mothers that, and then we were conceived by our fathers, and they carried us for 9 months, and they cared for us and took care of us and just did everything that was needed to bring us to life in that work of a mother. I tell you what, mothers are to be cherished and honored indeed. Amen. Thank the Lord for a good mother, a mother that cares for her children and loves her children. Nicodemus said, can I rewind and go back to that again? You say I must be born again. How can that be? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, you've got to be alive. You know, salvation and being born of the Spirit is only for the living physically. It makes it very clear that those who believe in some kind of soul salvation for the dead are barking up the wrong tree. Once you leave out of this life, it's over. Once your spirit, once the soul leaves this old body, it's done. And eternity for that soul is fixed forever. Indeed, the time of salvation is past when physical life in this world has passed. You got to be born. You got to be born. That water birth has got to take place. You got to be alive. And if you will, you got to be a person too. You know, dogs are not saved. Dogs don't go to heaven. Cats aren't saved. Are the most adorable pet that we might have. They don't go on to be with glory, and they won't be with us in the Lord in glory. It's fine to have pets. Pets are a good thing. If you're able to have one and that, they can be a comfort. They can be a protection. They can be a help. We do have a madness that prevails in our society about pets, and pets are elevated to that of humans and that, and that's no good. No good at all. But you got to be a person to be saved. The spiritual birth, as the Lord has broken out and opened up into, he said, Nicodemus, you must be born of water, and that is from your mother, and you must be born of the Spirit. And so he says here, you must be born of the Spirit of God. Otherwise, you can't enter into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born again to see the kingdom of God and perceive it and understand what it is and what's going on. And you've got to be born of the Spirit to enter into it. To become I believe with taking everything of the scriptures, I believe the Bible bears out that to enter into the kingdom is to become understanding that the kingdom is in fact here. To become knowledgeable about the kingdom. As Jesus says, the kingdom is within us, speaking to the saved. It's not that the kingdom is not at hand if we don't see it, but we become knowledgeable of it. We become understanding citizens of it, and we understand that it rates above any earthly kingdom that we can have a part of at all. It is the eternal kingdom, the kingdom of our Lord. He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, that is not baptism, but of your mother, okay, and of the Spirit of God, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Nicodemus, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and we were born of our mothers, and we are thankful to our Lord for them. You know what? Isn't it interesting? Brother Mark had some pictures of his family that we were looking at just before services. And, you know, isn't it a wonder how it is that children are like their parents? Nobody could really tell that my dad and I are related, but we are. We've been told for years, you get the Dukes together and we favor one another. We look alike. Some of us are shorter. Some of us are taller. But I tell you what, you can tell a Duke a long way away. We have resemblances of our parents, of our mothers, and of our fathers. It comes through. And it's something that a child coming down the line, a grandchild, great-grandchild coming down the line that might be the same gender as their grandmother or great-grandmother would have similarities. Or little children you might have one of the opposite gender favor their grandfather or something like that. And that's of the Lord. Mannerisms. Would you ever think that mannerisms could come through? But they do, without being taught. You all, I'm going to pick on Stephen. You all know how Stephen will stand around like this sometimes. He's got a certain way he puts his hands. If you've ever noticed that. I've noticed that. You know what? We saw Joseph one day standing beside Stephen as they looked on at something commonly, and they were both standing there the same way. I've got a picture of it standing behind him. We are of our parents. And we've got the eyes or the mouth or the nose or mannerisms or looks. So it comes through. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, the Lord says to Nicodemus. You know what? Those who are born of the Spirit, they have the mannerisms and the features and the characteristics of the Spirit of God that has saved them. Jesus goes on to say, marvel not. He said, don't have your jaw dropped open, Nicodemus, that I said unto thee, you must be born again. You're here. You've been born of your mother, but you must be born again, Nicodemus. Jesus knows his spiritual state. And you know what? The Lord knows your spiritual state too. I'm glad you're here this morning, not to hear me preach. It's always good to have folks to preach to as a minister of the Lord. But you know what? I'm glad that you're here, that you might hear from God one more time about the need that sinners have. Are you saved? If you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you must be born again. You must be born again. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Nicodemus, even to you, a rabbi, a leader, a ruler in Israel, ye must be born again. You must be born again. Listen, Nicodemus, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof. Right? We can hear wind whistling, can't we, through the trees, around the corner of the building or the house, amongst the wind chimes, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. You cannot look out there and see the wind, but you see the effects of the wind. And those born by their parents, we see that effect. They're alive, aren't they? They've got similarities. They've got a connection in those genetics that are there, marvelously designed by our Lord. And you know what? Those born of the Spirit have the same thing. We see the effect. We see the effect of the Spirit of God. The wind blows where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth outright. You can't see it. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. It's the same way with the Holy Spirit of the Lord. You see the effect on the individual. You see the results of spiritual birth, Nicodemus. Nicodemus' reply, again, gives away his heart and gives away the condition of his soul, I believe. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? You know what? I thought I was coming here to ask you some questions. I thought I was coming here to get something straightened out in my heart about what's going on with you. Now, was Nicodemus kind of head up a little bit? He wanted to come to the Lord, and that's good. But was he going to line out the Lord in some way? I don't know. But I tell you what, the Lord has taken the tables, if that's any of that's the case, and has turned it indeed upon Nicodemus to deal with his need. And praise be to God that he does such a thing amongst sinners. How can I be born again? How can this be? Jesus answered and said, verse number 10, unto him, art thou a master in Israel and knowest not these things? I think that's what's telling about what the Lord expects in this theological discussion, or what not turns out to be discussion, but instruction. He expects that. I think the expectation would be that Nicodemus would say, amen. That's right. That's the truth. Praise God for it. Praise God for life. Isn't it good to be alive? It's good to be alive, isn't it? From being conceived in our mother and our mother carrying us, and the Lord bringing us to term and being delivered at whatever the case would be. And we're here. We're alive. Made in the image and likeness of God to glorify Him. I tell you what, it's good to be alive. And what a blessing that we have in what God has ordained from the beginning in family. Satan is looking to tear that up and turn that upside down, make it go away. It was stated again here recently, and it's so true. The Sodomites and lesbians are looking to marry when they shouldn't be married at all. And you know what? Men and women are looking to shack up together and not be married, because that's what God says. The defiance of God prevails amongst men and in our culture, in our society. What God says, the wicked one, the wicked person, the bill of goods Satan is selling, depravity within men, wants to do just the opposite. But God has given parents to children in the home and the family, ordained from before sin. And what a blessing it is. Young parents, I know you get tired. It wasn't so many years ago that Clarissa and I and others that are here were in that place. You thought that you would never get rested up ever again. Amen. Amen. But you'll make it. Keep plowing on. Keep looking to the Lord to help you. And if you're not saved, look to the Lord to save you and take you the need of your soul to him and that of your family. You know, understand this, folks. Our children are following us. And where are they following us? Where are they following us? Any children that you might have influence over, they're following you. And where are they following you? That's what they do. Children do what we do, not what we say. Jesus asked him, "Are you a master, Nicodemus, and you don't know these things?" Verse 11, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, Nicodemus, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. How can these things be?" Was Nicodemus' answer in verse number 9. How can this be? How can this be? Now, is Jesus a person that you would be suspicious of and think that he would feed you a line and a lie and a bill of goods that would be false? I mean, Jesus has done like none other, and that's the reason Nicodemus has come to him. Would there be an expectation that Jesus would lead us wrong? No. He's Emmanuel, God with us, God come in the flesh. He challenges this man. He says, "I've told you the way it is, Nicodemus. I'm looking to have a theological discussion with you that'll answer your questions. And you don't receive it. You don't believe it." You know why that sinners are not saved? Sinners are not saved because they don't receive the Lord Jesus Christ and they don't repent and believe in him. That's the reason sinners are not saved. There are things that you and I know about the working and the power of God, but I tell you what, it's not God's responsibility, it's sinners' responsibility to hear the command of the Lord. Amen. Repent and believe the gospel Jesus declared. And in this very passage alone, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to make something very clear about men. You and I, naturally, we love our sin and we love our way, and we don't want God's way. And that's flat out the problem. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know. We testify that we have seen the way it is with the Spirit, Nicodemus, and you receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things?" Nicodemus, I've entered into this discussion with you, this instruction with you, just telling you about basic foundational things. Again, the Lord is taking that of a parable type of thing about children being born to mothers, hadn't he? Children being born carried by mothers, conceived within mothers, carried by mothers, and being birthed by mothers is the beginning of life for people, isn't it? Little boys and girls. Two genders. Isn't that something we got to even say that? Two boys and girls, that's it. And God assigns that from the beginning. That's the beginning of life. He said, I'm telling you with earthly things. I'm telling you about with the wind, Nicodemus. And you don't receive it and you don't believe it. Isn't that what he said? If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, it's on Nicodemus. How shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? I mean, if we launch out here to some heavy duty heavenly things, you're not going to be able to handle it, Nicodemus. You're flat not going to be able to go there with me to rejoice in it and praise God in it. So Jesus, I think here at verse 13, he knows Nicodemus' condition. But you know what? Even then, in dealing with Nicodemus, our Lord Jesus Christ is dealing with you and me today. Everything is in the scriptures for us and for our edification, that we might know, that we might understand, that we might hear, and that we might believe. And I see now the Lord Jesus Christ having delved in this with Nicodemus and found the condition of Nicodemus, that he is not a man saved. He is not a man knowledgeable about the truth of God. He's not a man knowledgeable about the kingdom of God and the necessity of the soul. You know what he does? He takes it and he brings it down to most simple terms. Look what the Lord Jesus shifts to. "And no man hath ascended up to heaven, Nicodemus, like you're trying to do, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. No man can make himself acceptable to God. No person can work a righteousness of himself that'll be received by God and accepted by God. Say, okay, Jim, you've done well. You've built well. You've done this in my name and everything. I receive you. Your sins are forgiven by what you've done. No man can do it. Cannot be done. We have nothing God wants. We have nothing God needs. And the scripture declares our righteousnesses are as filthy menstruous rags, the worst of things vile and corrupt in the world. That's our best day ever and what it shapes up to. That's what the scripture is plain about. No man has ascended up to heaven. But you know what? There is one. But he that came down from heaven, the ascender unto heaven to make a difference for sinners, is the one that came down, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. Don't you find that interesting that Jesus would say that? I'm here. I'm talking to you, but I'm in heaven too. Now, who can say that? Only our Lord. God with us. Emmanuel, God with us. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness," Nicodemus, you know this account in the scripture, don't you? "It's only the Son of Man that has come down. It's only the Son of Man that can ascend up. It's only the Son of Man that can come down and be a sacrifice, an atoner for sins, a redeemer, a savior, a Messiah. Only the Son of Man that came down from heaven, only the one that came down is the one that can go back up and atone for sinners' sins. No man hath ascended up to heaven. There's been no man that has made a way. Only the one that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven, that's where he belongs. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." Just like that brazen serpent. We see there what in the book of Numbers? The children of Israel had been bitten by those fiery serpents, and because they'd been murmuring against the Lord. And Moses intervened for them and interceded for them. And the Lord said, "Take and make a brazen serpent out of brass. Make a serpent out of brass. Fasten it to a pole, nail it to a pole, pin it to a pole, and hold it up, and everybody that looks upon the brazen serpent will live. Don't look at the brazen serpent, you will surely die." Because everybody's so far had been dying. "But you look, and you will live." "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Nicodemus, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, crucified, pinned to that pole, just like he was to that tree that we've studied about and looked at here recently. That whosoever believeth in him, the one there upon the tree, should not die, should not waste away and die away in their own sins, but have eternal life." Look and live. We've got a song that we sing from those verses. Look and live. Look and live to Jesus. Interesting how the Lord has changed gears with this man, isn't he? Theology rings nothing. It's foolishness to Nicodemus. This theology, this doctrine, this depth. Even as basic as the Lord laid it out in parabolistic terms, you must be born again. Nicodemus couldn't get it. So you know what he does? He presents unto him Christ, high and lifted up. I tell you what, Jesus came and became a man, lived a perfect life, and was crucified to do something for sinners that they cannot do for themselves. You cannot get any more simple than that. If you're on this earth and been born of your mother, you're a sinner. And because God has sent his son to be the Savior, you need a Savior. Everybody's in it. Everybody, we're all in the same boat. And Jesus is the Savior that you need. John 3:15, for that whosoever believeth in him, here's the clarification of the Son of Man being lifted up, should not perish but have eternal life. What's eternal mean? Forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, repeating. Amen? That's what eternal means. Those that would say that life can be given and taken away, like given and taken away, is that eternal? No, that's suspicious. that is not everlasting life. When the Lord gives life, he gives life. You think the Spirit of God is not able to give life that lasts eternally? In the Lord is life. John 3:16, for God so loved the world, the cosmos, his creation, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. Are you a sinner? I tell you what, you are. You need a Savior. And Jesus Christ lifted up is the Savior that you need. Everlasting life. Don't reject him. Don't buck against the truth of the Lord. Don't deny him, but receive him, believe him, trust him. And what he has done for a sinner like you. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, verse 17, but that the world through him might be saved. Jesus, when he came, as he said to the man that said, talk to my brother and have him divide the inheritance amongst us. And Jesus said, who made me a judge over you? Don't get tore up about all the stuff of this life, because there's something more important, and that is that of your soul. Jesus didn't come the first time as judge, and praise God he didn't. We'd all been done. But he came the first time as Savior. Becoming a man, the Lord Jesus Christ, you know what he did? If you will, the Lord evaluated the needs of man, and as the neighbor of men, did what men needed done. Top of the list. We needed a Savior. We needed forgiveness of our sins. We needed restoration back to our God. And that's what he did, and that's what he worked in. For God sent not his Son into the world, if you will, the first time to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved, because that's the greatest need. But I tell you what, he's coming back to judge. Now that he's the Savior, he's coming back to judge. And I tell you what, the only way you can get ready for judgment is to have him as your Savior indeed. To repent of your sins and believe and trust in him and his gospel for the salvation of your soul. Otherwise, certain doom for eternity is at hand for you. Hell is the most terrible, terrible place. Hell is not Satan's playground. The lake of fire is not a place where Satan's running around having a good time. Hell and the lake of fire are places of eternal destruction and damnation, and the condemnation of God meted out upon unrepentant sinners. And it's forever. And it's real. And there are folks, millions, billions, there now. They'll be brought up for judgment. It'll be only reprieve that they have. And you know what? They'll be then cast into the lake of fire. I pray you don't go there. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is a token, a manifestation of God's love towards his creation, that he gave his Son a sacrifice for sinners. The Lord didn't come first as judge, but he came as Savior indeed. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him, verse 18, is not condemned right now. Through Christ, you can have that condemnation of the coming damnation of your sin removed by Christ. But he that believeth not is condemned already, right now. Why? Because of this, that, or the other. Jesus says, out of his mouth, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That's the reason sinners go to hell. That's the reason sinners are condemned, because they don't receive and they don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ that was lifted up. Isn't that something? This is our Lord Jesus dealing with this man. And this is the condemnation, even more explanation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. I want my sin. I want my sin and I want everything that goes with it. I don't need a Savior. I don't want a Savior. I see no need for a Savior. I've got life. I've got youth. I've got strength. The thing is, don't even realize where it came from. I tell you, that's what blindness, the worst kind of blindness. It would be terrible for us to be blind, wouldn't it? I mean, we fear that. We think about losing of our sight. But I tell you what, the worst kind of blindness is spiritual blindness. To not understand the peril that is there at hand for the unrepentant, unbelieving sinner. To think that they're okay. To think that there'll be time another day. Why? They think in love, think that their sin and their and the love for their sin will endure and will last. I tell you what, it will not. This is the condemnation. That light has come into the world, this of Jesus being raised up and lifted up. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. We don't want rebuke and reproof for our sinful, wicked ways. And the very fact of a Savior being lifted up on a tree for the salvation and forgiveness of sinners is a very reproach on the natural man. Me? Sin against who? What do you mean sin? This is my life. I'm going to do my own thing. Get out of my face. Leave me alone. The Son of Man was lifted up because each and every one of us need forgiveness because we've sinned and transgressed against a holy and righteous God. We don't love the Lord, but I tell you what, our Lord has expressed his love towards mankind. Everyone that he doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light. Remember how the Lord said, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and you don't know where it comes from, and you don't know where it goes? We can't see the Spirit outright. But those that are saved, those that believe and trust in the Lord, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, he's the Savior I need. The one with the power, having done and completed his gospel, that will work and has worked to forgive me of my sins. I rest in him and trust in him that he knows what he's talking about. Those who are saved, those that do truth, those that line up with the truth, they come to the light. That his deeds, his working, his or her working may be made manifest, may be shown that they are wrought in God. I've been born again. These things are true. Jesus came and died for me. Not because I'm a preacher. Not because I'm James Duke's son. But he came to save sinners. And he saved this sinner. And praise be to his name. The birth that everyone needs, yet no mother's required. Well, you got to be alive, so you do need that water birth. And if you can hear my voice, you're a candidate for it. You need it. You need it. And Jesus is the only one. Believe in him. Believe in him, trust in him, that what he says is true, and that he is the Savior that you need. Believe and trust in him that he died for a sinner like you in your stead. That he was buried because he died for you. And then he rose from the grave to give you life. We're not called to save ourselves. Maybe there's somebody here this morning that's just trying to get it right to save themselves. I tell you what, quit that mess. Repent before God and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the command unto you and me.